Hey, Jason. It's JD and Billy Bob.
Hey, how are you?
From the Boxmasters.
I knew who it was.
We're on a bus in the middle of Wisconsin. Oh, okay. We're both on cell phones. It's ridiculous.
The Boxmasters coming through a couple dates here in Annapolis, April 27th, and the Hamilton, April 28th. It says the Hamilton show is a private date, so I'm guessing most of our listeners can come out to Ram's Head instead. So what's the deal with the private show? Is that, I know that's over near the White House. Do you have some dignitaries over there or anything?
Well, actually, our friend Chuck Lavelle, who's, you know, is the musical director of the Rolling Stones. Chuck is the musical director of a show that they have before the Correspondents' Dinner every year. He's asked us to do it a few years in a row, but we were always unavailable. But this year we're available to do it. And what they do is they have various people from, like, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, who have bands, and they get to kick their heels up the night before the Correspondents' Dinner, and then they always have a, they try to have a national touring act headline the show. And so that's us this year. So we're playing for news folks.
All right, so it's tied to the Correspondents' Dinner. See, I didn't know that. That's awesome. All right, but our other listeners can come out to Ram's Head. Take our listeners into your music. You've said that your early stuff is, let's see what happens when we mix Buck Owens with the Beatles. how did you get the idea to sort of do this Americanized sort of take on a British pop invasion kind of a thing?
Well, we've always sounded kind of like a band that was influenced by the British music of the 60s combined with the Americana music anyway. But on the tea-surfing record, the new one we have out, it's we wrote it with the idea that, look, let's write original songs but in tribute to the British mod music and the Southern California music of the 60s, and let's write it as if we were in 1966 when we wrote the song. And that's how it kind of came about. A lot of these songs we wrote in 2010, but we finished them off and made this record. Up at the Ram's Head, where you were just talking about, we played there a lot of times, and it's one of our favorite places. So they're pretty familiar with us up there. So it'll be more of the other folks, you know, at the Hamilton, the news people. They're always too busy telling stories on TV anyway.
JD, are you there? You're still there in the background?
I am here, yeah. You know, I'm trying to get away from the same room that Billy's in right now. It makes a weird echo. So I'm going outside to stand in the cold, clear, crisp air that is Wisconsin.
Are you guys wearing your Liverpool suits right now?
Oh God!
No, we're it's honestly, it's pretty darn cold out here because we're in the middle of Wisconsin, and it's a place called Bowler. And I looked on the map, and I don't think there's anything around it. And we're on two-lane roads driving through the woods, and we weren't sure where our bus driver was taking us because things are remote out here.
Gotcha. Embarrass your fellow bandmates there. You know, compliment them a little bit here.
Teddy Andriotis is our third official Boxmaster. He plays keyboards. He's played with Billy since Billy's first solo record. So he's been in the band about 17 or so years. And Teddy has a horrendous ADD, and he's mostly going deaf from all the years of playing in rock bands. So he often forgets or doesn't hear what you say, and if he does hear it, he forgets it pretty much immediately. Dave Fowler is our bass player and tour manager, and he's a sweet little southern man who speaks real quietly and says some of the funniest stuff you could ever imagine. And then Kirk McKim is our guitar player, lead guitar player. There's not much you can say about Kirk other than he's a fantastic guitar player and a great guy, and, you know, we're so glad to have him. But then we get to our drummer, and his name is Eric Rhodes, otherwise known as Meat Sweat, because the night before the first show that Eric was going to play with us, we were driving from Los Angeles to somewhere in Texas, and we stopped in Amarillo, and in Amarillo they have a place called the Big Texan where you can try to eat the 72-ounce steak. Billy goaded Eric into trying to eat the 72-ounce steak, and I instead played golf. And so I called them and said, hey, what are you guys doing? They said, Eric's trying to eat the steak. And I said, oh, no, don't let him do that. He'll get the meat sweat. And so we've called him Meat Sweat ever since.
That's an actual condition, meat sweats. I never encountered that. What's the latest music you guys have been working on lately? I know a couple years ago, I think you came on WTOP a couple years back, and you had like a double disc album where one was sort of, you know, your more rockabilly sound, and one was a little moodier stuff.
Yeah, we put two records out last year. We put two out the year before. And so T-Surfing is the latest one where we really put ourselves in the mindset that we were a band in 1966 or 1967, and there was nothing beyond that. So we, you know, really stayed true to the sound of that time, and we're really the, you know, kind of the way, you know, music was done at that time. And it's songs that we wrote, you know, 6-7 years ago, but we just hadn't ever finished. You know, we'd always intended on putting this record together, but just hadn't gotten to it. And so it's another, you know, it's 21 songs on one CD because we meant to put it on two, but they fit, so that made more sense economically. But it'll be out on a double, you know, double vinyl here at some point, too. We're supposed to have those at some point on this tour. But it's just really music inspired by our love of the British Invasion and English mod music of the 60s, as well as Southern California music like the Beach Boys and the Byrds and Buffalo Springfield and all those, you know, Southern California rock bands at that same time. So, you know, it's all those influences rolled up into our thing.
Awesome. And then, Billy Bob, how do you balance it with your, you got to be a busy guy with all your film shoots and stuff, too. I know you're a Goliath on Amazon. And how do you make time for the music dates in between there?
Right, you know, the first half of this year is just for music, and the second half of the year is for the other stuff. And you know, all the agents know that. So you put a caller on one agent, use the other one, and then after you're done with him, you put a caller on the other guy.
Well, JD said he had to step out into the cold, snowy Wisconsin, and that made me think Fargo's coming back. How did Lorne Malvo not only change your career, because, I mean, you'd already won an Oscar for Sling Blade and stuff like that, but he almost made me look at the world a little bit different through the shades of Green Predator, and, you know, he probably inspired a bunch of other little Lester Nygaards out there to man up a little bit. But how did he sort of change the way you look at the world, if at all?
Well, I kind of looked at it that way to start with. So I guess that's why I fit in the part. But that was so well written. Noah Hawley did an amazing job on that. And, you just basically had to go to work. It was really terrific.
That's awesome. I know we're up against the clock. Before we go, I wanted to get your thoughts on the late Bill Paxton. I thought A Simple Plan was probably one of your more underrated things. I love that movie. And when we heard that news, we're going to miss him. So I just wanted to, you know, get your memories on Bill real quick.
Well, Bill was one of my dearest friends over the years. He and I used to run around together back before either one of us had much of a name. You know, I mean, back in the 80s, Bill and I ran around together. So. And we ended up doing three movies together over the years. And I had just seen Bill a couple of months before he passed on. And it was quite a shock to all of us. And at his service, we just kind of looked at each other, all of us guys who were friends of his. And we just looked at his family with this blank look on our faces, like we couldn't even believe it happened. But he was a very talented guy, and not only that, just one of the coolest guys you've ever run into. He was an unselfish actor and an unselfish person.
Well, you guys were unselfish for joining us for the time you did. We appreciate it. Guys, check out the Boxmasters on April 27th in Annapolis, and then also good luck, guys, at the private thing at the Hamilton. Get everyone all warmed up for the Correspondence Center. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we'll try. Thanks, man.